Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I am so honored today because I am with Dr. Graham, owner of Carrie O. Graham Learning Solutions. Dr. Graham helps businesses improve learning outcomes by strategically integrating adult learning best practices. Dr. Graham has a reputation of understanding stated and unstated problems, then asking critical questions to help uncover clear and insightful solutions, not believing in the one-size-fits-all approach. She customized solutions to support unique individual and organizational learning needs. Thank you so much for being here today, Dr. Graham.
Oh, Dr. Iskovitz, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. I'm excited to have this conversation with you.
Likewise. And I can't wait to dive into your journey. So I would love for you to tell us how you got here today. I know it's probably a long journey, but if you could kind of give us a nutshell.
Yeah. So I started my career as a healthcare provider in a high stress, so college athletics, very high stress, transitioned to being a university professor in healthcare and I spent most of my career doing that. And here we are at the onset of the global shutdowns in 2020. So I realized I've been doing this work all along, but, you know, the pandemic, although there were some really unfortunate circumstances around it, it provided me an opportunity to really get my business off the ground.
Oh, I love it. And what was that initial push like with the pandemic and everything that was happening? What made you decide I want to start my business?
Honestly, it was not my choice. Yes. And so I was teaching as a professor and my position, my program actually was being phased out. And so I knew that at the end of the year, the academic year, I would be without employment. And so as it was coming and with the onset of COVID and the shutdowns, I'm like, I cannot find a job. And I had been the last couple of years have been growing a passion for using adult learning best practices and my prior experience. And the opportunity presented itself. And I said, well, Carrie, if you're going to live a life of adventure as you say you want to, here we go. So that was the push. It was never in my plan, but I'm going to give credit that it was in my higher powers plan.
I love that. And sometimes, you know, you do fall into it. It's not a lot of people have that entrepreneurial spirit when they're young. Like I didn't have that either. I went the education route as well and it kind of fell into it. But I love that you really trusted your instincts, even though it wasn't something you had planned, you followed that and it was circumstances around it. But since you've been building your business, what have been maybe some of the roadblocks that you've experienced as you've been growing and learning?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you and your audience. Admittedly, as I take a deep breath, one roadblock has been myself, honestly. And it's because I always tell people I'm not a fan of technology. I'd rather use a number two pencil, a wood number two pencil on a piece of paper. But my fear, because I'm not really limited, so to speak, limited, but it's more of a fear of technology and back-end systems. And I don't want to click the wrong button because I think the whole world will explode if I do. So I would say that really it was, in a lot of cases with my business, it has been me getting out of my own way. And so that's a lighthearted way to look at it. But then there were also moments where I had some self-doubt and, lacked some confidence in other areas around owning a business. And so I would say that has been probably one of the bigger roadblocks for me. And although it didn't all happen at once, but they periodically had crept up and presented themselves. And it was an opportunity for me to say, okay, am I really committed to owning a business? And if I am, I've got to figure it out. Like, I have got to figure it out. And so I would say that has been one of the big ones.
Well, and that's important too, because especially your background is all about learning and having those solutions. So, you know, it's only fitting. but I'm curious too, because I love your approach of a one size doesn't fit all. And really, can you speak to that more?
Yeah. So, you know, as an African-American woman, I often, even in school as a child, was always in white spaces. And as I moved into working in college, Division I college athletics, mm-hmm. I was working in white male spaces. And I talk about this a bit on my website, is that I really never fit. And it wasn't that I didn't feel like I fit. The environment was telling me I didn't fit. And I realized, you know, later in my career that I had so much value to offer. I have a kind heart and, you know, all the great things about myself that were not being acknowledged and weren't being used. And I also see that in other people, that there are others that are, you know, being challenged to fit in spaces or approaches that just doesn't fit them. And so that's why I say, you know, just because you buy someone else's program, it doesn't mean that it will work exactly the same for you. So it's not to disrespect anyone else's business. But there's a lot to be said for customization, because we all are very different individuals and we have different needs. You know, I love to eat, and I have a friend, we both love to go out to eat. But when we're at the table, what we want is different. And even if we both get a salad, what we want in our salad is different. And so it's one of my core values that I really believe that one size does not fit all. And I have conversations that reflect that.
I really feel that. And I think too, it just goes back to understanding everybody is different and unique, because like I talk about this all the time, coming from like a family systems background of psychology, but how like you can grow up in the same household and have such different viewpoints of your experience growing up as well. And it's just, I really hear you when you're saying too, like everybody is different. You could want to go out to eat, have the salad, but everything in it's very different. And I think there's just something so beautiful about honoring the uniqueness of each individual. And it goes back to learning style too, because a lot of times growing up in school, I know like I need every learning style possible, to be quite honest. But a lot of people are really good at auditory learning or just visual. I'm like, usually I'm visual, but then I need to like experience it, do it. And then like for me to really grasp a concept. And, you know, it took me a while to like figure it out, but I did. But I love that you have that approach and it's one of your core values, because I think it's goes back to the uniqueness of who you are as well. And I'm curious, because I know you work in the learning space, but what is instructional design and why is it important?
Yeah, so instructional design is the nuts and bolts of it. So I'd like to view it as the adult learning is the personal piece, mm-hmm. and the instructional design is the nuts and bolts. And so you asked about instructional design, but let me first tell you about adult learning. Yeah. So oftentimes we are taught or teach the way we have been taught or experienced mm-hmm. teaching. Often that's not a best practice. So adults, there's lots of research around it, and it's over 50 years worth of research, that adults have different motivations for learning and they prefer to learn in a different way than children. So with that being said, acknowledging that, when you couple it with designing a learning experience to meet those needs, the needs of the adult learner and the different ways in which they come to the learning table, is really important. So instructional design, it can take the form of looking at online learning, mm-hmm. live face-to-face learning, or even self-directed learning. And so there are some best practices that I advocate everyone employ when they're creating a learning experience, whether it's for a life coach, a therapist, or even if it's for HR and L&D doing corporate training. At the end of the day, you want people to walk away engaged, right? And these are the outcomes that I always advocate for, is engagement in their learning, information retention, and then skills application, right? So often people will not be engaged in the learning experience. And I equate that to two things. Either it's the design, so how the learning experience was designed, or there was a lack of acknowledging them as adult learners. And then you couple those two things together at the in the middle part, where we're presenting information for retention. And then we include both of those again at the third phase, which is helping them develop the skill and then accurately apply the skill.
I think that's really important, because I do know, like, one of my best friends does that for, like, a lot of different companies. And I think, like, you know, just learning a little bit about it, but for everyone listening too, just understanding when we are at a workshop or learning something new, retention of the information and, like, making it lively or making it be able to understand further along the road and not just right then and there and be like, okay, I got the information and now it's gone. But really being able to have that retention is so key in the skill set that you're being able to learn about. So I do think it's so vital when, especially for adults.
Absolutely. And I want to say, because we all spend so much of our time at work, there becomes a dollar or a financial consequence, right? So for businesses, and one of the reasons why I chose to do this work when I was a state employee, I remember going to a sexual harassment training that was mandated by the state. And I looked around at some of the people who were there. There were people who were asleep. There were people who were chatting with one another, playing games on their phones. Like, it is what it is. But yet the organization that I was working for was in public litigation around sexual harassment. So clearly there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect. And that's why I say, you know, it's not the learning piece isn't solely about, the touchy-feely. For corporations and CEOs, there is a risk to not having well-constructed, meaningful training and learning programs.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right. It affects so many aspects that people might not even think about when it comes to that. But I think you're right. It goes back to that organizational needs too, of what a company needs, what the people need, and being able to have a system in place to be able to learn the necessary, especially sexual harassment. I actually do trainings in California for it, but I think it's really important to recognize what is important, but also making it fun and like entertaining, where people are going to actually absorb what you're saying, because it's really hard concepts sometimes. I mean, sexual harassment's like clear cut, but like other aspects as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the, you know, this is something that I share with my clients all the time, is if we, you know, take the sexual harassment example, it, you know, we are not going to make light of that. However, there are ways in which you can make that engagement meaningful and personal to the, for the person, for the end user, right? Imagine if, what is the consequence of having them put it in their own words? That's how you get people to be engaged around topics that are, you know, sensitive, but have a significant impact on an organization.
Absolutely. Well put. And I'm curious, with just all the work that you've been doing, what has been maybe one or two success stories you've had in when you're growing your business and just different clients you've worked with or organizations?
Yeah, I'll say with the clients first, because that's always fun. I had a client who I remember one of the early conversations that we had in working together. And this is a woman who has a career about the same length as mine in sales. She's worked with Fortune 100 companies and has been incredibly successful. And she says to me, "I don't Carrie, this is pretty simple." And I said, "Well, yeah, it is." And she goes, "Well, I don't understand why everyone isn't talking about this, adult learning and design." Mm-hmm. And I said, "You're right. I don't know why everyone isn't talking about this." Yeah. And then the thing that got me is our time had closed and I were connected on LinkedIn and I saw her do a post and she talked about adult learning in mm-hmm. sales, but she was mm-hmm. also demonstrating the way she was presenting the information. She was demonstrating it. So she was using the design skills mm-hmm. and I had to just shut my computer down. Like I was done for the day. It was amazing because, you know, for me, that is a highlight to see my clients in their element. So doing their work, but they're using the skills. So what that tells me is they were engaged, they retained it, and now they know how to use it.
Executed.
Yeah. So I would say that. And on a more like to balance that on a more personal level around my business, owning a mm-hmm. business is the level of freedom that I have. And I don't mm-hmm. necessarily, I don't only mean it in terms of time, right? Because mm-hmm. we all, you know, want mm-hmm. the free time, but rather I'm free to pursue my own agenda as opposed to following someone else's agenda. I'm free to work with or not the people that I want to work with or not, right? And so that level of the level of freedom has been incredible. So like yesterday, for example, mm-hmm. I had one meeting in the morning and then I was like, I don't want to work. I don't want to work anymore today. And so I went outside, did some gardening, but mm-hmm. was actually thinking about my business and had some great ideas. And so for me, I actually was doing more work while I was working on my lawn. So I would say, you know, to balance the client success, I have just really enjoyed the freedom that it has provided me. It has been absolutely glorious. Everything that I know I wanted as a mm-hmm. kid, like I wanted freedom. Mm-hmm. And this is it. It just looks different.
Yeah. Very different. And, you know, you brought up a really good point about balance and freedom. And I know we were kind of talking about that right before we started filming, but we really talk a lot about work-life integration and what that looks like for each individual. And I love that you touched on, you know, you had one meeting and then you were gardening, but you know, that's such a good point where a lot of people have those moments of they're just having fun and all of a sudden all these ideas come through, like shower moments or like on the toilet or whatever, you know, all the different things. But I love that you brought that up and I would love to know what like work-life integration means to you or balance means to you in running your business and life.
Yeah, it for me, it has, you know, I to be honest, it is still a work in progress. Yeah. It really is a work in progress. And I believe that that's because I am also evolving, right? Like every year that passes, I'm a year older and I'm evolving. And so the way that actually, I don't have an answer for you. And I say that because I was about to answer you, but last year I got married for the first time, or I shouldn't say for the first time, for the only time.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so I started my business a year before we got married. Mm-hmm. And then I got married and we moved into our home. And it has, you know, there are times when I'm still figuring it out. I have to say my husband has, even when we were dating, was an amazing cheerleader. Mm-hmm. And that is something that, you know, took me some time to understand mm-hmm. the value of, because I'm such a private person. Mm-hmm. I never mixed conversations, right? So when I was at work, I wouldn't talk about my personal life. When I was at home with my family, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to know about what I do. And so it has been the first time where I'm able to share frustrations and confidence about work. And it has been supported. Mm-hmm. So it has taken some time. And then again, dispelling the myth of being busy as a form of productivity. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, like I said yesterday, I was just unsettled and I was like, I don't want to be working anymore today. And so to recognize that and honor it. And so instead of plugging through the way I may have normally, I just said, no, I'm going to go outside and pick weeds.
I love it. And, you know, I think too, it's just that support system is so key when you're running a business, and being able to have that cheerleader in your corner or cheerleaders in your corner, and especially talking about it, because I think that's a good point. When we hold things in, it can start to ruminate a little bit, or you don't have that outlet. But being able to have such a supportive spouse is so key, I think, especially in the entrepreneurial space, because it can be a roller coaster.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I will say, so at the beginning of this year, I planned that I only wanted to work full time on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and, you know, save Monday and Friday for doing, you know, some things associated with my business, but, you know, not taking client calls and such. And there was a period where I was working at night, I was working, you know, during dinner. And I remember one weekend, my husband looked at me and he said, are you working this weekend? And I was like, yeah, I have my laptop on my lap. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing some stuff right now and other projects. And he goes, well, didn't you tell me? And it wasn't like in a condescending way. Mm-hmm. It was definitely in love. He goes, didn't you tell me that you didn't want to work like that anymore, that you really wanted to have more free time? And I was like, yeah, I did, didn't I? And so having some, like living in a house with someone who sees the work day in and day out, mm-hmm. and having them hold me accountable mm-hmm. has really been amazing, because I'm confident that I would not have been able to see that on my own, and not so quickly.
Yeah, no, I can definitely relate. And I'm sure a lot of people watching can too, because I think when we're really so focused on our business, we're excited, there's so much passion, and it's taking those breaks. Like my boyfriend and I were just talking about this the other day, of like, because he's an entrepreneur as well, and it's just like constant. And I'm like, we need just a day or like a few hours for ourselves, because it's growing a couple businesses and it's a lot. But really going back to what you're saying is having somebody hold you accountable of, this is what I'm asking for. This is what I want. I want weekends off. I want Monday and Fridays off. But like really taking a step back and allowing that, because I know I'm stubborn, but maybe other people are too. But really listening to the people that love us the most and like care so deeply about us, and hearing that and taking that on and being able to like, oh yeah, you're right. And like, as you have the laptop on your lap and like being able to recognize that, I think that takes a lot of introspection as well, of just, okay, well, maybe I need to reevaluate where my time's going, especially if I want all that freedom. I have to be like working smarter too, and being able to create that space that you really want. And the business is always going to be there. It's always going to, like, something's always going to be coming up. You know, I always say this, it's like you have one thing and then a million more things that need to get done. But like, what is the priority? And I think that's a beautiful way to kind of look at it, of having that partner that's really supportive, whether it's a family member too, that can see it.
Yeah. And it's, you know, that to hear you say that, it speaks to having a level of trust.
Yeah.
You know, having a team, and I say team meaning people mm-hmm. who are in your corner, that you trust, and you know you can trust them to hold your feet to the fire. And that's something I've always appreciated, having friends that do that for me. And so it's, mm-hmm. you know, it good or bad or indifferent, you know, yes. Since we see each other day in and day out, it's been nice. It's been such a blessing.
I love hearing when there's so much support around us too, and being able to have that. I'm so glad you do have such a supportive spouse, because not everyone has that, but being able to really have that is so key in helping grow too, because it's like the voice of reason when you're like in your head, you know, they kind of bring you back down.
And it, you know, and again, it's, you know, it by him doing that, or, you know, we have different interests. Mm-hmm. And so when I am engaging in the things that he's interested in, and I'm like, for example, NASCAR, like I didn't grow up in the South. Like, I like fast cars, but it's just something totally different. And he loves it. And I, in an effort to, you know, be a supportive spouse, I'm like, sure, I'll watch this. But I found there was a point when I was on my phone working while I was sitting with him in front of the race. And, you know, he'll ask every now and again, he'd say, are you working right now? Oh yeah, just a little something. And he, you know, he, whatever. But now I realize, like, no, I don't need to work. Like you said, the work will be there. Mm-hmm. Like, why not just enjoy this moment for what it is and put it away? And so now I'm learning a little bit about NASCAR. I even watched a race last night with him for a little bit.
Wow.
Just a little bit. I was like, I don't get it, but I was just a little bit.
I'm there to support.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. You know, it's all about that balance.
It is. Yeah.
And looking at your journey thus far, what has been some of the things that, or maybe two or three things that you wish you would have known when you had started your business that you could maybe give us tip wise now? I'm sure there's a lot.
The first thing I would say is, you know, people always talked about, oh, you have to niche down. And I'm like, I don't know about you, Dr. Iskovitz. There's a reason I say that, is because I'm like, I have a PhD. I can do the three that I'm really passionate about, right? And they just kept saying, Carrie, I got a PhD. I can do this. And then it occurred to me, no. Knees down, right? So I would say, you know, one, my own level of arrogance. I wish that I wasn't, but nevertheless, the power of narrowing your focus is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
The other thing that I wish I knew was the value of investing in your business. Mm-hmm. Now, in theory, it makes sense. But when you are not making any money in your business and you have a household to maintain, it's hard to take that information and make an investment. And that's one thing about the online market that I don't like, is there's this narrative of you have to invest, but not everyone can. There are people that literally have to put food on the table, a roof over their heads. But I will say, I got to a point where I couldn't close any deals. Like, I was making money, but I just couldn't close. And I was like, I got a PhD. I can figure this out. Like, it's not that bad. How hard could it really be? And month one, no money. I know, I just need to look at the data, right? I need to analyze the data, and because that's what you're trying to do. And what I realized was, no, Carrie, you need to pay a sales trainer to help you with this. And she told me what her fee was, and it literally took my breath away. Literally took my breath away. And she goes, you know, are you okay? Like, what is your feeling around this? And I was like, well, I guess I can. And I took a chance on myself and I invested in a skill set that I didn't have. I knew I could develop, but I didn't have. Mm-hmm. I made literally 50% of my money back in 2 weeks. I can't say that, you know, will happen for everyone, but, you know, I'm not suggesting people spend their money on all the bells and whistles, all the mm-hmm. things, but right. if you can identify a skill set that you do not have, but is critical to you generating revenue, in that's the thing to invest in. Mm. So I would say those are my two. Those are my two.
Those are very important. And, you know, you just brought up a really good point, because even if you have a high degree, there's still so much we can learn. And that's like, I mean, the basis of what you do is about learning, but really understanding too, it's the investment piece, because I hear this so much. And in the beginning, I was like, well, I can do it on my own, or like, I can figure it out, or I'll just do all the free stuff. And like, my business didn't make money. Like, yep. for the first year or so, like, I mean, I had clients here and there, but not like significant right. amount. And it makes such a difference. And I continue to learn this too, like as I up level and just mm-hmm. seeing other people around me too. It's that investment piece is so key, because what you said, it's like trusting yourself, believing in yourself that you can do it. And yeah. I mean, not every fit is the right fit for somebody, but recognizing too, to take a chance. I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And knowing yourself enough, right? Like yeah. people yeah. have said, oh, you should, Carrie, you should join this group, this community, this paid community, and this, and I looked at them and I'm like, that's not a skill set that I'm lacking, or that's, you know, that's not information that will be useful for me. Mm-hmm. And that's a level of being self-directed, which all mm-hmm. adults are. So, you know, for me, recognizing, yes, I am still a learner, but it's mm-hmm. being a learner on a deeper level.
Yeah.
And again, it's, and my, for me, in that example I shared, my deeper level is I've tried and tried and tried, and I don't have the skill set to close a deal. I need to learn the skills. So it's, mm-hmm. I would say absolutely learning, you know, acknowledging what we're lacking mm-hmm. with grace and with kindness and with love, and then seeking that level of support is so important. And that, I think that's a level of balance, right? Like that's mm-hmm. how you maintain your sanity through it all.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you saying that too, because it goes back to that compassion piece. That's something like that is very hard for a lot of individuals. I know it's very hard for me, but knowing that you're not perfect, no one is yeah. ever going to be perfect.
Yeah.
I'm a recovering perfectionist, as I like to call myself. Thank you, Brene Brown. but really being able to understand too, that grace, and knowing there's nothing wrong with not having that skill set. It's just not one you have, but it can be developed, like you're saying. And I think that's so important to echo, because it really brings true to, we can't be good at everything, but we can learn and
right.
grow.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I can close for myself. I will never say I'm a sales coach, right? Like I that is not in me, but I know what my needs are. And I can make it work for me. So yeah, invest in yourself. Invest in yourself.
Yes, that's what it's about. Dr. Graham, I've been enjoying this conversation so much. I feel like we can talk for hours. But we're going to jump into the rapid fire questions if you're okay. ready for them.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Let me hold on here.
So the first question is, what motivates you to work smarter?
Free time.
Mm-hmm.
Free time and all that comes with it, free time. I want to be able to travel more, spend time with my family and my loved ones.
Yep. That's a good response. It makes sense. So if you were a superhero, what would be your power or powers?
My power would be that I am invisible. Mm-hmm. And because I love to hear about people's stories and to hear what they're talking about. So if I were invisible, I could just go and I could sit in on any and listen to any conversation, you know, and then of course use my powers for good, like not just to be nosy, but you know, I think there's so much, and I talk about this on my website, how listening to what's not said. Mm-hmm. And so often people will admit things or confess things that can be helpful to them, but there's shame attached to it, and it's stated in private or not at all. And so that would be my superpower.
Oh, I love that. Using it for good.
Yeah, use it for good, for sure.
So if you were to share a meal with any four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
They would be, as a Christian, Jesus, my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, who died when I was in college. And then the two people that I've always wanted to meet, Mother Teresa. Mm-hmm. And then the last one who I actually got to meet is John Thompson Sr. And he was the Georgetown University men's basketball coach for a number of years. And so a lot of professional NBA players played for him. And I had the chance to meet him on my birthday some years ago. A great story for another day, but I'd love to have just sit and listen and to a conversation with all four of them.
It sounds like it would be a fascinating meal. So if you were to think about things you've done in your life, what is the most daring thing you've ever done?
I went bungee jumping.
Oh, that always scares me to think of. Clearly I haven't, but
yeah,
what was that experience like?
Well, it was not planned. I think that's the thing that every time I think about it. So I was traveling with a team. We were in Australia. A number of the players were like, it was out in the middle of nowhere. It was beautiful landscape. They were doing it. And there were two sets, but this one set of sisters on our team, they wanted to, but they were afraid. And I just, you know, sometimes I just say things. I'm like, well, if I do it, would you do it? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, okay, well, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Not thinking, like just not thinking it through. And so I walked, it felt like a million stairs to get to the platform. And so I'm walking up it with one of the assistant coaches and the players. And I'm like constantly like, yeah, like you said you're going to jump. And they're like, yeah, we'll do it. And I'm not like every step, I am not realizing what I'm agreeing to do. And so I get up there and the assistant coach is filming it. And that's when it starts to click. And so I was like, oh yeah, show this, you know, being silly, show this to my mom if I die. And I'm like, mommy, I love you. But not fully not getting it. The guy straps me in and I'm like, okay. And he goes, okay, look straight ahead. He goes, you want to jump out? And I was like, okay. And I'm beautiful. And he goes, okay, on the count of three, you have to jump out. All right. One, two, three. And I stood still. And I was like, oh, I'm about to jump off of a platform by my feet. And so I just looked at him and he was like, you're up here. Like, you need to go ahead. And I shouldn't say this publicly, but I will. And I was like, can I just kiss you in case I die? And he was like, okay. So like, I kissed him and he was like, okay, you ready? And I was like, yeah, I guess I'm doing this. And he goes, one, two, three, and I jumped.
Oh my gosh. I felt like I was there. My palms are like so sweaty right now. Like thinking like, I could never, but I am so proud of you for doing it. And you survived to tell.
Yeah, thank you. And again, it's one of those things where I did it, but I wasn't thinking. And I'm confident, had I thought, I would not have done it. I wouldn't have done it, but it was because I was trying to help someone else. Mm-hmm. And that's why, that ultimately was why I did it, is I had no desire even, but I'm like, this is an experience that they need to have. And fear should not be the thing to keep them from this. So
Oh, well, that is incredible. That just the learning experience for them of like taking the risk of doing it, but having a great time doing it as well.
Yes.
So if you do have a day off, because I know you have the freedom now, what is your favorite way to spend the day off?
It is, if I'm able, it's spending it with my loved ones, just not having a plan, just doing whatever it is that we feel like, and always a good meal included in that.
It sounds like a perfect day.
Yes.
And what is something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
Oh, about my industry is that adult learning and instructional design transcend all industries. And they are best practices that are actually practical and easy to implement. Mm-hmm. And the return is huge if they're mm-hmm. willing to invest the time.
I believe that. Yes. And where can people find you, hire you? We'll link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Absolutely. So all of my information can be found on my website, drcarriegraham.com. And there you can schedule time with me. And the thing I like about that is we simply have a calm conversation, a very calm conversation about what your needs are, what your big ideas are around engagement, retention, and application. Mm-hmm. And we go from there.
I love it. Well, Dr. Graham, it's been such an honor having you on today, just sharing everything about adult learning and being able to understand too that everyone has their own way of learning, but being able to have a solution for that different type of learning. So I just appreciate you coming on today.
Oh, Dr. Iskovitz, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's such a delightful conversation. And you took me down memory lane. So thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad. And I'm glad everyone got to learn a little bit more about you as well and what you're up to. But we so appreciate it. So make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Dr. Graham today? She said a lot of amazing things, but make sure to comment so she can see it too. And we'll see you on the next video.